Welcome back to my show. In today's episode, I have a really special guest with us today. Her name is Sylvia Liu. Hi, Sylvia. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I look forward to chatting with you.
It's my pleasure. I'm so happy that you can make it today. So could you please introduce yourself and maybe give a brief synopsis of your latest book?
Sure. Hi, my name is Sylvia Liu, and I write middle grade and picture books. And my most recent book, which came out a couple months ago, is Hannah Shu and the Ghost Crab Nation. It's a middle grade science fiction, and the basic premise is when it's a near future United States that's heavily influenced by Chinese influences. And kids, when they turn 13 in this near future, get their brains connected to the multi-web, which is basically the internet. And my main character is a 12-year-old girl, Hannah Shu, who discovers that there's something weird and wrong going on. Essentially, she uncovers a corporate conspiracy against her class of kids who are preparing to get their minds connected to the multi-web. And so she needs to fight this conspiracy with the help of new friends and unusual allies like scavengers and a Qigong master. And so it's kind of like an adventurous, thrilling story, but with lots of themes about privacy and the internet and corporate control, things like that.
That sounds like an amazing book. So everyone out there who loves science fiction or wants to experiment with a new type of genre they've never read before, I would definitely recommend this book. I'll also be putting the link to Sylvia's author website as well as her Goodreads page, as well as all her other pages. You can definitely check that out in the podcast episode link, which I'll be putting out soon. So anyways, Sylvia, here's my next question to you. What inspired the character of Hannah Shu from your latest book?
Well, it's interesting because Hannah Shu is She's sort of in a new high-tech world. She's kind of like an old school, old soul type of kid because she likes to work with her hands. She likes to build these little automatons, which are like robots, but not electronic. They all work mechanically. And so I think a lot of her interests in tactile things, building things, that's actually, I'm like that. I like to make things, although I am not mechanically inclined, so that part of her personality, I'm not sure where it came from, because that's not like me. But anyway, I just wanted to sort of write a character that was very curious about the world and was always questioning things.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, all characters from what I've heard from previous authors, they all have said they've got inspired from their life, from other people's life, from what they hear. Because I feel like the world is full of inspiration. You just need to know what to use and what to maybe use for your next or future works.
Yeah, I mean, it's because this is set sort of in the near future, a lot of the tech and the science is a little bit futuristic, but I really did ground a lot of it in current events. I did research about what is the science of connecting people's brains to the internet, and people are studying that. They're using mice to do it, and so all of this stuff is sort of actually possible within 30, 40 years.
Okay. So my next question for you is, what are some challenges you faced while writing this book?
I guess one of the challenges was I guess it's more just a process challenge of writing any book, is that it was hard for me to find a lot of dedicated time to write it, because at the time I had kids in the house and was busy. So it's just, I think almost any author who has either a job or other obligations, just how to juggle putting aside time to write and revise versus getting other stuff done in their lives. So that was really the biggest challenge. So it took a while to write this book, but this was the book I wrote before I got an agent, and so that's one of the things that's a little different, because once you have books and agents and contracts, then you tend to have a shorter amount of time to write your next books. But when you're writing, you know, like books, you know, before you get agented, you have lots of time. So it actually, you know, was several years that I had to work on this book.
Okay, so from what I'm understanding, the agent process is what kind of reduces your time while writing, since they give you a lots of deadlines and like less time than usual. For example, let's say you have a book that maybe you're starting to write now, but then once you get an agent, you are supposed to finish it up by maybe 6 months from now. Has that ever happened to you, or do you have like more realistic timelines?
Yeah, so I guess it's not so much having an agent that like gives you the time deadline. Having an agent like lets you sell your books, right? And it's once you sell your books to a publisher, and you know, if you have, for example, an option to write another book with the publisher, or if you have a relationship with a publisher and you're going to write another book for that publisher, that's when you get a shorter time frame, because a publisher is not going to wait 3 years, right? They are going to, you know, want a book a year more or less. So that's kind of, you know, so you have to sort of, you know, get better. At least I have to get better at, you know, writing more efficiently.
So we've been talking about agents for a few minutes now, and I was wondering, how did you land your agent, and what was the process behind it?
Sure. So my agent is Jennifer March Soloway with Andrea Brown Literary Agency, and I love her. I've been with her since the beginning of 2019, so I guess 2.5 years now. 2021, I guess. Yeah. And so I did a combination. Like, I ultimately landed her through traditional querying, but I actually met her sort of, first of all, I sort of connected with her virtually a long time ago, because I run the Kidlit resource website, Kidlit 411. And so for that website, we interview agents and authors and stuff like that. So I sort of first met her online a long time ago when we interviewed her just for a feature on the website. But then later, when I was writing picture books, I had queried her. So she was on my radar. Then when I had when I was Hand in a Shoe and I was in the middle of writing it, I actually went to Andrea Brown Literary Agency has these conferences that they put on. And they basically bring together writers into small workshops, and they pair them with their own agents or other authors. And so it's like a weekend writing workshop. And so I went to one in Colorado. And so I was in a small workshop where Jennifer was the agent who led that little workshop. And so she got to know, that was the time we actually got to know each other personally. And I got feedback from her. I was still working on the novel, it wasn't complete. But because of that, when later on, you know, several months later, I queried, you know, pretty widely, but she was one of the people I queried. And I think it helped that I knew her, or she knew of me, you know, when I queried her, because there's that personal connection. So, I mean, I guess that's one thing about like querying agents. Like, if you do have a chance, you know, to meet an agent at a conference, for instance, or, you know, you've had some, you know, email correspondence, or maybe you, you know, have a Twitter friendship with an agent. Like, all of those are little points where, you know, when you do query an agent, you can always, like, that's just the one little personal, you know, like added, you know, point, I guess, that might have them look at your, you know, query letter a little longer than someone who just comes out of the blue.
Yeah, I feel like what you just said, having a connection with the agent probably really helps. But for young writers out there who this podcast is all dedicated towards, what would you advise them to do if they plan on traditionally publishing in the next few years?
I mean, the thing is, yeah, obviously not everybody, you know, can, you know, go to conferences, or, you know, or you might be, you know, not even in the United States or whatever, right? So I think what you do is, obviously the most important thing is to write the best book you can, right? Like, really make sure the book on its own stands out and, you know, shines. And then, you know, if you have time, I do recommend, like, for example, Twitter is a really good place to get to know agents, because many agents are active on Twitter. And so you don't even have to necessarily interact with them, but just getting to know their personalities, you know, becomes a point that you can, like, in your query say, oh, I've noticed you are really interested in, you know, middle grade horror, you know, with a, you know, speculative twist, and this just happens to be what I write, you know. So just getting to know them that way. But you also, many agents do have, like, you know, like now that there's more ability to go to like a virtual, you know, conference, like at the SCBWI or something, there are ways to try to connect with them if you can, you know, if you're not able to physically, you know, go somewhere.
I feel like that's brilliant that now that virtual visits and virtual conferences are possible, even young writers can attend those, maybe if not alone, since like because of being a minor is an issue. Since,
right.
Like you could do it with your parent or with someone old enough to supervise you while you're attending the conference.
Right. And the other thing I would say also just for like aspiring writers is one of the best things I ever did, and this isn't like connecting with agents, but is connecting with other writers, you know, your peers. So other, like if you're a young writer, other young writers, you know, and you can do that through, you know, online spaces, or you can, you know, go to an online class, you know, and meet people that way. And if you can find people to become critique partners, that's one of the best ways I've found throughout my writing career to improve my own writing. Because not only are you getting feedback to improve your writing, but as you read other people's work, like it's always easier to see what's wrong with someone else's work than your own, right? So it's a way to just like also, you know, grow as a writer, because you can pinpoint like, oh, I see like when I get bored at X, you know? And so that's something you can apply to your own writing.
I feel like what you're saying is very true. Connection is everything you need in order to become a good writer, because connections are what will help you in the future. Like, for example, as you said earlier, connections with agents, if you're planning going with the traditional route, as well as connections with younger writers in the area, or even teachers. Teachers could also be a great resource for you, especially if you're young writers, because you already have that that resource available to you for free. You don't even have to pay for it, because your teacher is right there for you. Maybe your English teacher, your writing teacher, and if you're already in college, you can. That's even better, because you have even your professors helping you out, who are like extremely skilled in their profession. Now, of course, teachers can also be helpful in this case for elementary, middle school, high school. But the level of understanding the professors have probably be not the same as an elementary teacher, or middle school teacher, or high school teacher. So I feel like over the years, your experience in writing will increase, and you should keep writing and not worry about the outcome yet, and just like keep writing. Keep focusing on your work, and maybe someday you'll actually end up with an agent.
Yeah, and the other thing I always say also is just read a lot, you know, and that's something if you have a library nearby, that doesn't cost any money. All you have to do is just, you know, read as much as you can of recently published book in the genre and age group that you want to write in. So, you know, if you're interested in writing middle grade, look at what's recently published, you know, what are the, you know, the popular ones, you know, and also, you know, same with YA. But also I would say, you know, don't limit yourself to reading just, you know, the age group or just the genre, but read widely, you know, because, you know, you'll find like if you read, you know, adult books and middle grade books and YA books and science fiction and romance and historical novels, you just get a bigger picture of, you know, what's out there.
Definitely very true. Limiting yourself just limit your options, but reading widely would give you a range of genres you could possibly write in. Maybe today you are writing science fiction, but the next thing you know, you're reading so many fantasy books or so many historical fiction that you suddenly realize that you enjoy reading and writing those kind of books, and then you start on a new journey where you just start writing those kind of books. So in that sense, it really helps.
Yeah, and I've noticed actually, it feels like at least in children's publishing these days, people are not as like limited to like one type of book. You know, I feel like 5-10 years ago, if you started writing, you know, like YA thrillers, you got like pigeonholed into that, you know, category. But I know a lot of authors now who do a lot, you know, they do different age groups, they do different genres. And so I think that's a pretty freeing, you know, thing.
Yeah, so thank you so much for being here with me and taking your time to talk to me. And actually, this is the end of the episode, everyone. And I'm so happy again that you're here with me. And anyways, that's the end of the episode, guys. I'll see you all next week, and I'll be posting all the links in the description box. So I'll see you guys next week then. Bye, guys. Thank you.